Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, new beginnings is not just for the young. It's not just for the young. The Lord, we begin new every day. Every day is a new beginning. One day at a time, if every day when we wake up, it's a chance at a new beginning. Good evening. I'm Suzanne, and I'm here with you at New Beginnings Ministry. We're here every Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, and we come to you through Blog Talk Radio. A reminder that we are, our program is being recorded, and you can listen to it in the archives, and if there's a session that you missed, you're more than welcome to join us in the archives. Many of our people do. So New Beginnings Ministry on Blog Talk Radio is one that's interactive, so you can call in and participate. You can call in and listen, or you can just listen along with us on the Internet. If you're on the Internet and you're participating with us and you want to say something or send us a message, please send it as a in the chat room. If you go to chat, you'll send it, and I can respond to you from there. This evening, we had planned on having goal setting as our topic, goal setting for the saints of God, but we're going to do a little something different. If you just give me 1 minute, and we'll start, we'll pray, and then I'll open up. I'm going to be your leader this evening, just hosting from here, or I should say facilitator, because we're all in a flipped position of leadership. And like I said, this is being recorded, and I would hope that everyone or as many people as possible will participate. Father God, I thank you so much for this venue. I thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity, dear Lord, to go through your word, Father God. I pray, dear Lord, that we are operating in your will and in accordance to what you would have us to do this evening, Father God. And as we bring up the subject and go through the scriptures, Father God, that you, dear Lord, will help us to rightly divide it. Let the Holy Spirit have complete control over this Bible study this evening. That, Father, what we are to get out of it, dear Lord, that it stays with us, dear Lord, and that we are not, Father God, that where we may be in error, Father God, that it be completely removed from us, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, for truth. We thank you, Lord, for clear vision, Father God, and a clear understanding. In Jesus' sweet and holy name, Holy Spirit, please lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good evening. Now, I thought that this evening what we would do would be talk about marriage. And I'm going to be honest with you, there's a Bible study that I co-facilitate on Monday evening, and we were talking about marriage. And my husband said that originally my son-in-law was to speak this evening, and I haven't heard from him yet. And the Lord just told me to be ready. To be ready. And marriage had been the topic that had been on my mind for several weeks anyway. Someone had said, asked me when I would talk, but this is not what I consider my forte. This is my husband's forte. So the Lord told me to be ready. And we're supposed to be ready in season and out of season. Amen. So I hope that in the discussion, not that I know everything, I'm not claiming to know everything. I'm a student of the Word. I like to go through the Word and through different scriptures and examine them and to be able to discuss with the saints and to be able to ask questions myself. So please don't leave this all on me. So our topic this evening is marriage. And I'm coming from, well, I have several scriptures, but there are a couple, two books that I'm using. One, of course, is the Bible. And I like the Serendipity Bible because it's a really nice Bible study group Bible. It comes along with very thought-provoking questions and cross-references, and I enjoy that. I like the cross-referencing. And then the book that I'm using is Lies Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free by Nancy Lee DeMoss. Not that I believe everything or completely take her point of view on everything in her book, but it is a point of discussion. So one of the lies that we talked about in her book is that
I have to have a husband to be happy. And many sisters have been raised to believe in the way that society portrays women or portrays adult women to younger women is that you won't be happy unless you're married. That marriage is the be all and end all. So although we're talking about marriage this evening, we want to make sure that for those who are not married, that they understand that you don't have to be married to be happy. You don't have to have a husband to be happy. Your happiness is from the Lord. Happiness is not found in or out of marriage. So we could go to James 1, verse 16 and 17. We're talking about heart. Better yet, let's start James 1, verse 1. We're talking about hard times in good times and bad. Isn't that what our vows say? In good times and bad. What do we do? In good times and bad. Happiness does not come from marriage. Your happiness, all of this comes from the Lord. So in James 1, it says, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Trials and tribulations. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. And I can just stop right there, praise God, as far as marriage is concerned and relationships are concerned, that it's the Lord, that whatever you want, as far as immaturity, not lacking anything, we're supposed to ask God. You lack wisdom. Ask the Lord for wisdom. He gives it generously. Let's go on. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a flower, like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its bloom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. So there's the trials and the temptations. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from God, coming down from the Father of the heavenly light, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chooses to give us birth through the word of truth, that we may be a kind of he created. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The first fruits of all he created. So what we're supposed to do, praise God, is to, number one, bloom where you're planted, wherever the Lord has you, with a husband, with a wife, or in singleness. You're supposed to bloom where you're planted. You're supposed to flourish where you are. Seek God for where you are, for wisdom on how you can do for the kingdom
in the position that you're in right then. Okay? Through trials and tribulations, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. There is no person, and this is coming from Nancy Lee DeMoss's book, there's no person who can meet my deepest need. No one and nothing can make me truly happy apart from God. And a lot of us believe, the way I was raised, the way my father's taught my sister and I, was that marriage wasn't for women. Our society makes us believe that marriage is for women. And girls, we grow up playing with our dolls, playing house, you know, excited about and looking forward to our, you know, to the wedding day and the bridesmaids and all the planning and all of that, but not really, really preparing for marriage, you know, after the day of the wedding. We look at it as like a storybook, like Prince Charming is going to come and rescue us and sweep us off our feet, and our life will, you know, everyone will live happily ever after. What Daddy taught us was that marriage is really for men, that it's for the man. The man needs the woman, needs his helpmate. The man needs his mate. The man needs a wife in order to legitimize himself, to establish himself. He needs his wife. He needs his wife to be able, because sometimes women are more sensitive to the spirit than men are, to speak life into him and to encourage him and to give him warnings when he needs warnings, to pray for him. Just like, of course, women need the prayer also, but I hope you understand what I'm saying. But for us, there is no one that will meet all of your deepest needs except for the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you get married thinking that I'm only half a person or I'm a broken person, that if I have this person or somebody with me, I will be whole, that they'll make up what I'm lacking, that they'll take care of me, that they'll complete me, then you probably shouldn't get married. That the only one who can make you happy, who will meet your deepest need to make you truly happy, is God. No one can do that apart from God. Remember, it's the Lord in your marriage that makes the marriage work, not just the man. The man. I'm going to open up the lines and let's see what others have to say. Uh, 407, are you there? Let's see, 407. I'm trying to open up the line. And 718, area code 718, are you with me? Area code 843, are you with me? Area code 214, are you there? 216, 573.
If you can hear me, please respond.
I can hear you.
Okay, good. I was hoping I had lost the connection. Okay, well, praise the Lord. I'll keep going. Okay, you know my husband usually does all of this. He's singing this evening at a church in Cleveland, so please pray for him. And he left me with the task of running the board and everything. So pray
for
him.
Sister,
okay.
You're doing fine.
Thank you for the encouragement. We're still talking about it, good times and bad, hard times and beautiful times. Let's look at Psalm 62:5. No matter what, we are to look to the Lord, no matter what.
no matter what. I'm reading from the Living Bible, 62:5. My soul, wait thou. That one, sorry, that's King James. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. From the Living Bible, but I stand silently before the Lord, waiting for him to rescue me, for salvation comes from him alone. Praise the Lord. So what this says to me is that if you're in a marriage, or if you're waiting on marriage, mm-hmm. the Lord, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Pray, do the right thing, and wait on the Lord. Let's look at Psalm 118, verse 8 and 9. The lines are still open, 216-574. If you all want to chime in, please join in and say what you got to say as the Lord leads. Psalm 118, verse 8 and 9. It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in men. It is better to take refuge in him that is the mightiest king. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. It is better to wait on the Lord. So sometimes we act fast and then want the Lord to rescue us out of the mess that we made and don't understand, like, well, how did this happen? I thought God loved me. But we're supposed to wait on him and do what he tells us to do, how he leads us, not to go out on our own and then ask the Lord to fix it. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 through 7. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 through 7. The Lord says, cursed is the man who puts his trust in mortal man and turns his heart away from God. He is like a stunted shrub in the desert with no hope for the future. He lives on the salt-encrusted plains in the barren wilderness. Good times pass him forever. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and has made the Lord his hope and confidence. And we can just replace the word man there for woman. Also, you know, don't be afraid to put your name, as you read the Psalms and read the Scripture, to put your name in there, to take it personally, you know. Blessed is the woman who trusts in the Lord and has made the Lord her hope and confidence. You know, blessed is Suzanne who trusts in the Lord and has made the Lord her hope and confidence. Putting your name in there, preach it to yourself, speak life to yourself, speak life to your marriage, speak life to the marriage that you're praying for, speak life, okay? Praise God. God has promised to provide everything that we need. He's promised us that. So regardless of your situation, if you are faithful and praying in him, if you're keeping your trust in God, regardless of what the situation looks like, regardless of what it feels like, because we have a tendency, especially as females, to go on feelings. Well, this doesn't feel right. He doesn't make me feel right. My feelings are hurt. I feel sad. I feel depressed. I feel ignored. You know, it's not about how you feel. It's not about how you feel. God has provided to provide all your needs. Your blessings, your happiness, your peace comes from him. If he will receive more glory by someone being married, then he will provide a husband for them. You understand? Does that make sense? If he finally sees glory from the saint being married, he will provide a husband or a wife for them. Okay? So you're praying and you're asking the Lord. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes it's just wait. Be quiet. Be still. And wait. Praise God. Praise God. I want to talk about my personal situation on that one. I have to be happy. I have to have a husband to be happy. Before I married Brother John, I was single and divorced and single parenting. And what I did, believing the word of what God's word says, to write the vision down and make it plain. And I had confirmation from saints, because I know that, you know, some people are the marrying kind. That's what my girlfriend would say, that I was marrying. I didn't like a lot of boyfriends. I didn't like the idea of going out, hanging at the, not that I didn't do it. Not that I didn't do it. I don't want to sound like I'm St. Susie. But I didn't really like hanging out. I just wanted to be chill, you know. And so one girlfriend in particular wants to call me just the Marian kind. But anyway, so what I did, believing God's word, and I had come into a deeper relationship with the Lord and God's spirit filled and so forth, and reading the word, and I literally believe, and I still do believe, the word in Jeremiah and in Habakkuk, when you write the vision down and make it plain. And when it comes to pass, you can run with it. So I made a list of the things that I thought were important in a mate. And in the meantime, still praying, because I had been reading about, I have to be who my husband needs me to be. Okay?
That's good.
So when he sees me, he'll know that I'm the one. And when I see him, I'll know that he's the one. So praying for myself to become the person that I'm supposed to be in, you know, in the Lord. And then I wrote down a long, I wrote a book, in other words, of all of the things, the qualities of the husband that I wanted. And, of course, he first started off with all the superficial things, like he's got to be at least 6'2", and he's got to weigh this much, and he's got to be basketball tall and football big, and you know, that type of thing. Have muscles, and you know, superficial things. But then I got down to the things that matter: that someone who loves children and would love me and my children as a package, someone that loves the Lord, that truly, truly loves the Lord, that enjoys spending time with the saints, enjoy spending time in the Word, someone I can pray with, someone that I can praise the Lord with and won't think I'm crazy when I'm walking around the house singing and shouting and speaking in tongues, someone that we can go and worship the Lord together, that we would be in agreement on churches, someone that, you know, that would love my family and that my family would love. You know, so the list was long. So there were the superficial things and there were the deep things. There were the spiritual things, there were the financial things. And all of this, the list went on and on and on. But I believe that because the Lord said, if you write the vision down, that when it comes to pass, I could run with it, that he'll see that. And the Lord honored it, that in my prayer, and my husband, the man that I am married to, John, who you all hear every week, was just a friend of mine, was just a friend. And it's like the Lord began to just, like, light him up where I could see him different, and he did the same thing for me, where he started to see me differently, you know, not just as a friend, not just as this, you know, this girl goes to that church, but we began to look at each other differently and began to trust each other even more. But the friendship came first. I praise God for that, and it was 8 years that I prayed for a husband, and a prophetess told me that I was to wait. And I had met someone that I thought may have been him, but I was told to wait. You know, confirmation through her, you know, of what the Lord had said. Because in my mind, you know, when you're in the waiting room and when you feel like, when you're of the mind, like a lot of women are, that you have to have a husband to be happy, and that was definitely my mindset, so the Lord got that out of me. There were things he had to get out of me. You understand? So that I would have said if I didn't have confirmation and other people praying, people around me and wise counsel, I would have said, oh, that couldn't be the Lord that said, because that wasn't my husband. You know, because the Lord knows that this person was to be my husband. And I praise God that I did not end up with that person. Not that he wasn't
Amen.
A good person, but he wasn't the one for me. Okay?
Right.
And I was not the one for him. Not that he wasn't a good person. He was a good person. He was a very good man. But he wasn't for me. Praise God. Do we have any comments? Any comments? Discussion.
I'm just glad that you waited for my friend. this is Sister Edna. I'm just glad you waited for my friend, Brother John.
He's a good guy. He's a good
yeah.
guy.
Okay.
My family loves him. My family loves my siblings. My brother is so satisfied. He doesn't have to worry about me anymore.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. We have any men on the line that would like to chime in? Okay.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Oh, I'm calling from the 718 number. And
I have
a question. Yes. I have a question. The majority of people that get married today, are they waiting on the Lord for their spouse, or are they just getting married, like you say, just to have somebody?
Yeah.
You know what? I wish I knew the statistics on that, but there is one statistic that I do want to share, and I'm kind of skipping, but since you bring up the waiting.
Yeah.
Society, well, popular media tells us that the divorce rate is the same in the church as it is in the world, but that's not
yes.
true.
Okay.
That's not true. So one thing I know that they have found is that those that live together, usually the marriage does not last.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wow.
Because
mm-hmm.
there's trust issues there, and the marriage generally does not last. With the reason that the secular world says that marriage is the same, that the divorce rate is the same for Christians or for, I should say, for the church and people that are of the Judeo-Christian denominations, that it is as high in with us as it is with the world, is because of the way that the survey or the data was interpreted. And what they interpreted was not whether people actually attended church and if they were actual worshipers. They just asked the question of, are you a Christian or are you a Jew? You know, and so, especially here in America, well, up until maybe the last decade, people would say, well, if they weren't Jewish and they weren't, you know, like Muslim, then they must be Christian. So they were automatically thrown into as a Christian. Like if they ever, like, walked into a church, well, then you must be Christian.
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't make them Christian no more than me parking, you know, standing in the garage makes me a car.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? So if we were to go back, in fact, there was someone on one of the Christian stations, I think it was Moody this weekend, that was speaking about that if you go back and you reexamine that data and you were to ask the question, do you go to church, you know, or how often do you go to church? Are you a regular attendee, or are you a two times a year attendee, or do you pray? The statistics would be completely different. It would be completely different.
Yeah.
So saying that, having said that, I would say that most people, Christians, do stay together. And I believe that a lot has to do with the counseling and the teaching that goes on in the churches. Like most churches today have premarital counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And most churches, especially most of your contemporary churches, have groups. You know, we do a lot of groups now where young women, just like the Bible tells us, young women are supposed to, or older women are supposed to, teach the younger women, and we have more groups. Like our church, we have a group called the 21st Century. And with the 21st Century group, it's a group of, they're called the Knights of the 21st Century. And so the older men are teaching the younger men and boys about chivalry and taking care of your house and being the man of the house and being leader in your home. While the women are doing the same, with the girls, so we have more of that. And I think that in our families, even though the family structures have changed, I believe still believe that those in church pretty much keep that together. So that may be one of the reasons that Christian, you know, like in the Judeo-Christian tradition, that the marriage stability is a little bit better than in the world.
Yeah.
You know, not that it's perfect. But it's about staying in it. It's about praying. It's about your commitment. And one of the things that if you talk to people that have been married for many, many years, the basic thing they say is that I didn't leave. Period. Period. When it gets tough, you don't leave. You do not leave. For better, for worse. For better, for worse. You know what? You could be raised in the same house with people and have difficulty getting along with them. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, sure.
But it's an effort. It's an effort.
Yeah.
You know? It's an effort. I think about, like, when my sister and brother and I are together, I think we can be together maybe about 4 days. And we're good. Not that we don't get along well. We get along well. But, you know, everybody's wrong.
Yeah.
and you have different ideas.
That's
true.
Right.
Yeah.
And they don't do what I say anymore, like they used to. You know?
Yeah.
I'm the oldest, and they're supposed to, you know, be respectful. Well, I'll leave that alone. My husband's going to say, what in the world are you talking about?
Right.
But let's go on to the next one. God has promised to provide everything that we need. But as I said, and he will, and if he will receive more glory, then he will continue to bless us and provide us with a husband, and he will get the glory from our having a husband.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at 1 Chronicles 29 and 11. 1 Chronicles 29 and 11. Okay, 1 Chronicles 29 and 11 reads, yours is the mighty power and glory and victory and majesty. Everything in the heavens and earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as being in control of everything. Praise God, in control of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go back to 10. While still in the presence of the whole assembly, David expressed his praises to the Lord. O Lord God of our father Israel, praise your name forever and ever. Yours is the mighty power and glory and victory and majesty. Everything in the heavens and earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as being in control of everything. Riches and honor come from you alone. You are the ruler of all mankind. Your hand controls power and might. And it is at your discretion that men are made great and given strength. Praise God. And that's what David prayed for Israel. And that same prayer goes to be used for us in our relationships. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Any comments?
Amen.
Any comments? Praise God. Praise God. So let's go to Job 42, verse 1. Job 42, verse 1. In the right place? Verse 1 and 2. I know, then Job replied to God, I know that you can do anything and that no one can stop you. Praise the Lord. Now, Job says that. The Lord can do anything. So, regardless of the status of your relationship, the Lord can turn it around. He can turn it around. There's nothing impossible with God. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Let's look at the Proverbs. Proverbs 16, and I love the Proverbs. I remember being taught to read the Proverbs every day, read a chapter every day. You know, and there's enough to the end of the month.
You
start from the beginning and go to the end. Praise God. And the Proverbs is so true, but the wisdom in the Proverbs is something we can hold on to for life. Proverbs 16:9, we should make plans counting on God to direct us. We should make plans counting on God to direct us. So it's not our plan, it's God's plan. It's God's plan. It's God's plan. So you can want something, and if it's God's will, if it's been His plan for your life, then so be it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 7. Verses 25 to 38. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 5 to 38.
You know, I just want to say before you go on, Sister Suzanne, that when you said God can do anything, being in a marriage, He can do anything. But if one spouse doesn't, basically isn't on the same page as you, then what do you do about that? You know, I know that the saved is supposed to sanctify the unsaved, but what if you have two that are saved and they yet, you know, seem like they're unbalanced somehow? What do you do about that?
Okay,
I'm just throwing that out there.
Okay, if they're both saved and they're not getting along, the question would be, are they seeking counsel from their, from their covering? Are they praying together? You know,
are they
seeking the Lord together? Are they in God's will? So there may be something that's out of order, but whoever is taking the lead spiritually, the wife or the husband, needs to be praying for the relationship. Sometimes what happens is that it just takes one person to turn away from a marriage or marriage to start to deteriorate, being saved or unsaved. And to turn away pushes God out of the picture because you're not doing things the way the Lord would have you to do it. So God is not going to bless your mess, you know.
Right.
You can be in church every Sunday, but if you're not living the life and carrying yourself according to the Word and committing your marriage to the Lord, then how could you expect your marriage to be blessed? So sometimes, I was reading somewhere, or did we do that today, about sin, how you have temptation, and that temptation becomes a sin, and then you have sin, and it becomes a bondage, and then we become angry. And so that's where that anger and resentment comes in. So you have, like, especially, in a situation where even the praying spouse, even the spouse that may be praying, may be resentful for having to be the one to pray. You know?
And not getting any help from the spouse. Yeah.
Or waiting for him to change.
Mm-hmm.
And
he doesn't
change.
He doesn't change. He's not changing.
Right.
But then that takes us back to the beginning. Is that your husband is supposed to make you happy? Your marriage is supposed to be, you have to stand in marriage during the good times and during the bad times, regardless of what's going on around you, regardless of whether your husband is in line or not. And when we're talking right now about a couple that's saved, when both parties are saved, and I'll assume both parties are in the church or at least know the word or know about the word, they have accepted Jesus Christ, but one is not at behaving as they should. Mm-hmm. Just like in the movie,
right. They stray.
I can't remember the name of the movie right now, but the one where the guy was Kirk Cameron was in it. Kirk Cameron was in it. He was a fireman.
Oh yeah,
You have to keep doing what you know you are supposed to do, and as you do that, you also have to pray for forgiveness, because it's not for your husband. Because remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Number one, but number two. Mm-hmm. In that marriage and in that position, you're supposed to glorify God. We're supposed to lift up God, lift up the word, be an example in the household no matter what. So even if, and I'm going to say it from a traditional perspective, even if he doesn't appreciate the food that you cook it anyway and try to make it to his liking. You know, until he comes around, because you're getting your satisfaction, you're getting your happiness, you're getting your reward, your confirmation, your blessings from the Lord, not from your husband. You're not praying your husband, your wife, if there are any men that are listening that may be in that position, they're not the ones that are blessing you. The Lord passes out the blessings. Your happiness should be from God. That's your the relationship, and a good relationship is just icing on the cake. It's icing on the cake. If you're in a relationship and you're in a relationship with someone that's not saved, the word tells us that if the person that's not saved is with you and they choose to live with you in peace, then live with them. It's by your example that you will minister to them, that you will teach them, and that you'll bring them into the fold. It's by your example that happens. So we have to remember that our marriage is a ministry too. Our marriage is a ministry too. Now, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, and if that spouse chooses to leave, and if that spouse was the one that had that infidelity, then and just so to speak, and that wife did all that she could do, staying there, being there, doing all those things that you said, and he still chose to leave. She's done all
covenant,
that she could do.
Now remember, we serve a covenant keeping God, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So when we go into the marriage covenant with our husband, where is the covenant between the Lord and the two of us? Now, if he chooses to step outside the covenant, then he's broken the covenant. Or she has broken the covenant, because the same thing can happen with a woman. So the unbelieving spouse, or the spouse that committed adultery or some type of infidelity, abandonment, if there is abuse, that's the other thing. Abuse, be it physical, emotional, financial, that the Lord doesn't call us to stay and be abused. He does not call us to
absolutely.
Be abused. He does not, and I'll keep saying it, he does not call us to be abused.
No, he doesn't.
Some people that preach, like, no matter what, he can hit you upside the head and you can, you can stay there.
No way.
God has called us to peace. Yeah, he's called us to
peace. Absolutely, to peace. To live together in peace.
Now, for somebody to break the covenant or to act outside of the covenant, the restrictions of the covenant, they have broken the covenant. You do not have to go back into covenant with them. Now, and I believe that even to go back into covenant with someone is something that you need to pray about with the Lord. Call you to go back into covenant with someone like that, and sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't, and that's what
that's
we have to use wisdom with, and we have to seek counsel from our coverings, from our pastors and our spiritual leaders. You know, seek counsel from them.
Amen.
It's not our responsibility to change somebody's mind if they leave.
Amen.
It's not our responsibility to change somebody's mind if they step outside the covenant and you have done all that you have been called to do, all that you promised to do before God and man, then...
Mm-hmm.
He's
broken covenant. Yeah.
Right. You have not broken the covenant. So so your relationship with the Lord is still intact. The person who breaks the covenant then has to deal with it. See, there's always there's a penalty for breaking a covenant.
Mm-hmm.
There's a penalty for covenant. You know?
Wow.
There are consequences for breaking covenant. So you have to be very careful. You know, death is the consequence of breaking covenant.
Wow.
So we don't do that. We don't take it lightly when we go into the marriage contract. Now, you know, we talk about marriage, especially these days, and I'm not gonna go there on this time, but that's a whole other sermon about how people view marriage today. But biblical marriage is a covenant. It's a covenant. It's a blood covenant between us and God. It is a covenant that is not to be broken. And a covenant is much, much deeper than the signed piece of paper we sign at the Justice of the Peace. You know, it's not about that. I'm not afraid of Judge so-and-so, you know, in downtown Cleveland, but I fear the Lord. And I love him. And I say that the Lord has my best, has my absolute best future. He has the best plans for me. That he loves me like no one else ever could. Ever.
Amen.
That he's my beginning. He knows my end. He knows how I think. He knows my heart. He created the heart. He created the heart that's in. So I can trust him. I can trust him because my creator knows who he created. Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God. Very good.
So many lies that we have believed about marriage, about trying to change our husbands. You can't change our wives. You know, you buy it. You buy it, it's yours. That's the way it is.
Right.
You know. If he didn't pick up his socks before, don't think you can change him. He's not going to pick up his socks. Just accept it. Is your husband supposed to serve you, or is your wife supposed to serve you? And I know we're running out of time, and maybe John will want to continue this next week. But as far as
what about you?
We'll see. And submission. Sometimes women, especially today, we talk about the feminist movement and women's lib and everything, have a skewed view of what submission is and what servanthood is. To serve someone is an honor, but we're not supposed to be slaves, okay?
Amen.
To someone is an honor. That means to hold them up, that you have that you become their foundation, their home base, you know, to submit. That's what it means, not to be abused. Submit doesn't mean that I'm your slave, I'm your doormat, I can, you know, do whatever you want and I got to take it. Submit means that you know that I'm going to be there, that I got your back, That means that I'm going to support you, that I'm going to shore you up. You know, and just in today's language, I got your back no matter what. Okay, I'm at your side no matter what. That's what it means to submit. Now, the question is, do you submit to someone who's not in, who doesn't hear from the Lord, or someone who's not saved? You're supposed to respect them. You are to respect them. And that's where your prayer life comes in, that you're praying that they will make wise decisions, that you're praying that your relationship is such that you can talk to them and try to help them to move in a certain direction. And I'm not saying being manipulative, because manipulation is witchcraft, but to be respectful no matter what, even if he's not doing what you would like him to do, even if she is not behaving. Think about what with Gomer in the Bible. Even if she's not doing what you would like her to do, you still respect them for the position that they're in. That is still wife. That is still your husband. Just like we do with our parents. Even if we didn't have the best parents, even if our parents failed us on occasion, even if our parents weren't perfect people, for no other reason, you respect them for being your mother. Respect them for being your father. Respect, honor the position. Honor the position. Mm-hmm. Honor the position. So praise the Lord. And just quickly, another one was, if you have a passive husband, a husband that doesn't take the initiative, that refuses to be the spiritual head, sometimes we as women, especially women of color, and I'll say that, so everybody listens to our archives, but I'm going to go on and put that in there, out there. And women that have been through the women's lib, women of this generation, are very, very independent, and some can be resentful of men, and some of them want to emasculate their men because they want to start. They feel that they can do it better. Even if you have a passive husband, even if your husband is not taking the spiritual head, you still respect him as the priest of your house, because the Lord is going to hold him accountable. Mm-hmm. He is going to hold him accountable, and you're out of order if you're not doing that. Amen. And it doesn't mean that women can't preach. It doesn't mean that women can't teach. It doesn't mean that women can't pray. It means that my husband is my cup, and my husband supports me in that. Mm-hmm. He supports me in ministry. He supports me in ministry. But in this house, he is the priest of this house.
That's good.
He is the priest of this house. It does not mean that I don't pray. It doesn't mean that I don't ask him, let's pray, or go into prayer, or even lead a prayer. But he is the priest of the house, and I respect that. And we have to respect that. And you come to a place where we have to teach our daughters, like someone taught us, to respect our husbands as the men of the house. We have emasculated our men so that some men will just sit in the corner and be quiet just to keep peace.
I know someone like that.
That's true.
And that's not of God. That's not of God. God will not bless that man.
And I know someone like that, and she's been married like 40 years, and her husband sits in the corner. Jesus.
He's beaten up. And see, some men will leave, and others won't leave most of the time because they've been raised to stay with their family or whatever. Don't want to disappoint the children or whatever. But we have to be careful of that. Well, we have 10 seconds, and the music's getting ready to start.
Okay.
I thank you. The recording just came on, but I thank you all for joining in with me. Praise the Lord, and I will see you next week.
Thank
All
you.
Right. God bless.
God bless.
God bless. God bless.
Hello? Hello?
Hello. Yes.